Ah, you said it hadn't happened in a while, Tyler. Well, it just happened.
Let's go.
And the Astros keep it together in the ninth. Josh Hader closes it out for yet another save. Christian Walker with the game winner. And the Astros win and complete the sweep. They win 4-3 in Arizona. And yes, Bryce, oh, Bryce got him another RBI today.
Yes, sir. That's right, Bryce Matthews.
There you go. He got him another one ground out. It was an error, and they helped him out a bit, but they took advantage of those errors, and they now have a six-game lead because the Brewers beat the Mariners 10-2 today as they lose 2 of 3. The Astros sweep the Diamondbacks, so that gives them a two-game lead. They left Seattle up 4. They now are up 6 after this series against the Diamondbacks. So, big time. They pick up 2 games in that series right there, and they now have a 6-game lead in the West. 4-3. Big game from Brandon Walter. A bit sad situation that he doesn't get a chance to get the win, but he was in line for it when he left in the 7th. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned. 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. So he had a big time performance there today. And as we said, Christian Walker came home and had a really good series. Came back to his old ballpark and had a really good series against Arizona.
Yeah, look, it's I don't know, but we go from worrying about letting this division get down to a 2-game, possibly a 1-game if you get swept kind of deal, all the way that now you just at a blink of an eye after a series where you get the sweep, somehow, some way this team continues to win, you get a sweep and it's a 6-game lead again. So boy, I tell you, the stars are aligning for the Astros if they can just get some guys back and be a little more competitive when it comes crunch time. It'll be big, but this series was much needed for sure.
You know, it was big. It was big for the Astros to do what they needed to do. So big win, 4-3. They take care of the Diamondbacks, and they will come home and have the A's. They have the A's, another winnable series against a last place team, as they will have the A's, and Seattle will play the Angels. So they can maybe pick up some more ground on the Mariners, and really they're close to catching up with the Tigers. I don't know if the Tigers have played today. If the Tigers lost today, Clint, I think they would, and they have, so I believe the Astros now have the best record of the American League with the Tigers' loss and their win. They were a half game behind them, and the Tigers are starting to scuffle a little bit. So the team with the best record,
who's your daddy now,
is the Houston Astros.
Should I say the Astros?
How?
I don't know. Hell, I don't know.
It's a beautiful thing, though, boy.
I thought the golden era was over.
Beautiful thing. It's fun being an Astros fan, ain't it, boys?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting how this has occurred. Before you let us know what you want to get off your chest from training camp today, have you seen this with Justin Verlander? Justin Verlander, who was
winless, is what I saw a while back.
I didn't know it. I didn't know it was this bad.
He tied a record.
Yeah, he tied his expensive San Francisco Giants record to start the season 0-16. He's went not 0-16. He was 0-8.
Right.
But winless in his first 16 games, and he finally broke the streak and won today.
Got it done, whole JV.
He's 1-8.
Just in time for Crane to make a move.
1-8. He was headed towards 0-17 to start the season. What the hell? No, you ain't getting to 300 wins like this. Oh, man, I didn't know it was that bad out there for him. And the Giants are good.
Yeah,
the Giants are above 500.
I haven't watched enough to know even what the hell's going on. I wonder if Father Time has jumped on his back or if he's just had a rough go.
I mean, his ERA, I mean, it's not great. I mean, it's just under 5. And probably lower today, but good God. I mean, there's got to be some bad luck in there. That is rough. I did not know it was that bad over there for for Justin Verlander, but he gets the dub today. All right, what you need to get off your chest about what you saw at training?
Well, I mentioned this earlier, man, and the tight ends are going to be a huge factor for this Texans offense. I mean, do you get Dalton Schultz? That's the bad Dalton Schultz from 2024. Do you get the Dalton Schultz from 2023 and before? That's a quarterback's best friend that can separate. That's a clutch catcher, right? Do you get Cade Stover, a young player that seems to be making huge strides quicker than most, or do you get a guy that hits a wall and doesn't develop? Do you get a Brevin Jordan that is injured, or do you get the Brevin Jordan that's an elite weapon at that position? Like, that room has a boom or bust potential, right? And so I'm watching the tight ends today, and I just don't understand how this happens, Ron. I don't understand how it happens. They're out there for an hour and 28 minutes from 9 o'clock until 10:28. And I'm watching the tight ends because the thought that I just articulated to you, that hit me pretty early in practice. So I spent a lot of time watching the tight ends and the different team drills and the rotations and all that. And I'm thinking this is a real chance for Brevin Jordan to be a difference maker on this team, for him and for the Texans, hell. And I look up, Ron, and we're probably two snaps into the only team period, like full team period, where it's not an emphasis on run or it's not slow plates install. It's a true team period.
He just made a catch, didn't he?
Offense versus defense. And we're probably two snaps into it, and I look up, and Brevin Jordan is casually walking with, I don't know if it was a trainer or just an assistant, a ball boy type situation. I'm not sure. But he's walking away from all the action down the field right in front of us, and he goes in the cool room, the cool down room, cold room, whatever the hell that thing is.
He had just made one catch, turned it up.
And I'm just thinking, when did we get to a spot where, like, you can't tell me that Nick Caserio doesn't stand there in the end zone and go, here we go. You can't tell me that he doesn't roll his eyes at that type of stuff. Or are we at a spot where I'm just the old head that hadn't played since back then and it's all acceptable? You can't tell me D'Amico Ryans doesn't look over there and go, what the hell is Brevin Jordan doing? We got 10 reps. We got 10 reps the first day of camp. We get 10 reps of team. And he was getting mixed in there consistently throughout the rest of practice. How? How are we hot? How are we? And I don't even care if it's suggested by the trainers. Like, it doesn't matter whether it's accepted or not. How does Brevin Jordan walk to a cold room in the middle of a team period when you've got about 10 reps and you got less than 10 minutes left in practice? How?
Well, let's break it down. First, why does it bother you so much?
Because you're installing a new offense. Forget about the fact that Brevin hadn't been there. You're installing a new offense. Every rep matters.
To the stars.
Every rep matters.
And you believe he was missing that at that point?
No way you can get mental reps if your ass has got you back to the huddle.
Mental reps. You want the mental reps and the reps.
All of it. Any kind of rep you could possibly get. Like, communicate with your tight ends coach. Communicate with the other guys that aren't in there. There's plenty of action that could be happening. The last thing you should be doing is walking to a cold room. Getting a head start on your recovery in the last period of practice. And look, clearly it's a different generation.
And I think it's probably not a game plan that was more than just his decision.
Well, look, I don't doubt that it wasn't his decision. I don't doubt that the little vest that they wear under their pads may have triggered something, an alarm somewhere, and one of the trainers is watching, and maybe his heart rate got up or his body temperature got up again. But like, where have we gotten to a point where we just walk off away from team drills, from team practice? You got 10 today.
I can't remember. Did he ever return? Or did he go ahead and get started?
If he did, it was at the, like, literally at the last rep. I mean, I watched for a good 3 or 4 reps and he never returned. But there was, I mean, it's just like that stuff absolutely baffles me.
I think it's going to bother you because it's a different time. I like someone just texted in, many of them are lazy and entitled. I think this is, I don't think this was Brevin's just Brevin's decision. I think it was, like you said, maybe some trigger because he was walking with somebody else.
But Ron, the thought of I do think it's like Brevin's decision. Like Brevin should be in a place. I don't give a damn what the area is. Brevin should be in a place where it's like, no, I'll catch you in 5 reps. When this practice is over right here, I'm going to get in that cold tub. By the way, the guy that he was walking with wasn't telling anybody what to do. He was assisting with a towel and drinks and care and helmets.
Yeah, I mean, it may have been something put together prior.
I just don't know. I don't know how when you got literally 10 reps of full all go team versus your defense. I don't know what can pull you from that to a cool run.
The reason why I just say that right is: do we believe that Brevin Jordan is in a comfortable spot?
I think Brevin Jordan is a lot more comfortable than he should be.
But I'm saying, do you believe that Brevin Jordan is in a comfortable spot to just bounce from practice on his own, to just make a catch and bounce from practice on his own? That's what I'm saying. I think this is something that was probably understood and planned by somebody, and not just, man, I'm ready to roll off.
Well, if you're, again, I mean, I don't think it was planned. I think it was a reaction to something. There was some kind of alarm. Maybe he told somebody he was tired. Maybe he told somebody, whatever. But if D'Amico Ryans and Nick Cassero are in a spot where they're like, hey, trainers, man, got 5 reps left in this little team period we got right here at the end of practice, man. Pull whoever alarmed, pull them and get them in that cold room right now. By the way, the just casual walk down there showed me that there wasn't anything severely wrong. It just baffles me that's where we're at. And the only reason I noticed is because I was watching the tight ends very closely, and I'm thinking, Brevin Jordan's turning me on. This is nice. And then I'm looking at, here we go. The hell is going on here? I'm telling you, man, it's wild to watch.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be different. I saw Aziz, I saw a couple of guys roll over into that cold tub or that cold room or whatever. I just kind of think it's ain't in Wichita Falls no more, man.
Well, this is extreme. I
ain't got no shade over there.
I can give a little bit. I can give a little bit, but damn, iron 28 minutes, 10 play team period. You can't last that. Eh, I can't depend on you.